December 12th, 2022 Rural Healthcare District meeting to order. And just to make a note that our meeting was scheduled for KC, but due to weather conditions, we moved it here to Buffalo, and we can consider going to KC next month. First thing on the agenda is to approve the agenda. So I don't know if y'all had a chance to look at the agenda. There's three things that I want to do since we can't meet with them in person, is I'd like to scratch the executive session personnel for KC. And then I'd like to table the contract for the RFP for the architect. And I would like to table the Title 25 discussion. I visited with the attorneys about that, and they said they couldn't be here today, but they would like to be present when we discuss that. So I told them we would table it. Those are my three items. Does anybody else have anything that they...
Now that Dr. Schuler is on the board, how are we doing medical director?
I don't have that on the agenda. We can add it because
okay.
I do.
Are we? Because I mean, I'm just. I forgive me for not knowing, but like, is it a liability that we don't have a medical director right now?
Well, the ambulance service has to have a medical director.
So we technically don't.
I'm not sure what their deal is, Doc. Let's add it to the agenda.
Okay, I just wasn't
sure
what to do.
Okay, let's put that under new business and add that medical director to that, because I do have a letter from Dr. Schuler resigning as the medical director.
Does that have an effective date on it, or immediately, or?
Well, that's what it sounds like, because he's as a new, well.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay, so we'll add that. Is there anything else?
On the executive session, I have some questions about personnel that I don't think have totally gotten answered, and I didn't know if
that's why I wanted to have that executive session to address your concerns. So I'm thinking we can do that at the next meeting when Crosby and Michelle will both be there.
Okay.
And we can go over that.
I'm wondering about a discussion with just the board.
Under executive session?
Just
well, sure. I mean, we can still do that if you'd like.
If we could, I would just
might help us get up to speed too.
Okay, I'm cool with that. All right, so we'll
there.
Add that back on. Anything else, Carrie?
And then
Can we add under old business the liability insurance?
I have it on there. Not on this, but I have it on my note to talk about. So. Yeah.
And then also grants, kind of old business, just wrapping up some grant information.
Okay.
Yeah, and before we table the RFP contract for architect, can we just find out a status?
Well, the status is there's nothing been done. There's nothing going forward. There's nothing been done. Okay. Adam?
I know elections of officers is new business. Do we need to tackle that earlier in the meeting, though, just with no sitting officers, no current treasurer, anything like that? Do we need to take care of that?
Sooner
than later, and a question as much of a comment, but...
I guess I don't have any problem moving it up.
I don't think it will change anything in terms of
when we do it.
Treasurer's the only one that's not present.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And we've got to.
And Teresa can kind of give us a, and we've got our, Teresa can give us a rundown. And
my only thing I would just like to change, and it might be how you do it, I would just like to see executive session occur after public comment. That way, if there's any public comment that wants to occur people don't have to leave and then come back once executive session has finished.
Okay. I'm good with that. Okay, so we'll move that down. Based on that, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I second it.
Okay, all those in favor of the adjustments made to the tentative agenda, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now, moving on, we will go in and do our vouchers.
Okay, so these are bills directly from KC. And I have the okay from Cosby to go ahead and sign those.
Now, what we did is, since we're changing this all up a little bit with the bookkeeping and stuff, Crosby sends his, she gets some stuff directly, and then there's some things Crosby sends. So Teresa's going to put the voucher together, write the check. She's going to email them down to Crosby to review. If he has any questions prior to the meeting, he'll get with Teresa. And then Teresa will has his okay, and right now as chairman, my okay to sign the voucher.
So as do we, I apologize, sign, oh. Where are we signing?
Okay, so I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And we require two signatures.
Is two signatures. And I think we're, and that's with the Bank of Buffalo, and we'll talk about Western State. That's with the Bank of Buffalo. As to my knowledge, you're all signed up and ready to sign checks. So we need two signatures on the checks. Now, whether that's the chairman or the secretary or the treasurer or any of you, I don't have any preference. So whoever wants to put their, so here's where you sign. So this is the voucher.
Okay.
And then there's a receipt.
I'm happy to. I'm getting warmed up on my Christmas cards here.
Initial it.
Okay.
Here's a stack too. These are just for the
EMTs,
I
think. Okay. For all the EMTs.
Yeah, I think EMTs and staff. I think just Christmas cards.
Just
look at it because mistakes happen.
Okay.
Okay, this file is Casey's paychecks, and the two on top are direct deposit, and so it's just a voucher with the payroll information stuff behind it, and that's Michelle and Crosby's. And also in this folder is their regular bonus, which Crosby and Michelle have given me the information for, and they've checked it.
Okay.
And I'll just send that. Also, and then a folder with the Wyoming retention pay, which Marilyn can probably explain.
Yeah, I'll try.
So there's a couple more folders. Okay. And this is extra.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if you wanted them all in executive order, just so they stay in the folder.
Let me get to this retention thing. So while you're doing that, to explain the retention, that's money that came from through the state, through the Wyoming Hospital Association, and it was a one-time payment to EMS services across the state. So Casey is the one that we're responsible for to write the checks and sign the voucher. They got, it was like $41,000-some-odd, and they were to disperse it equally. They could do it equally for all their EMTs, so it wasn't, nobody had to go, well, you're going to get this amount, you're going to get this amount, and so on. Now, the Hospital Association did express that if you had drivers, for example, and you wanted to pay them a little bit different than the EMTs, that was fine, document it, but you pay your drivers all the same.
Yep, okay.
So that's kind of what, and that's what this is about.
And did you figure out what?
$41,000.
Yeah, see, and Buffalo EMS got 120. Wow. I had 100, close to 120.
And that was kind of the discussion we had last time about when it was going to occur. Is that the payroll tax we were talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did we figure out what the payroll tax would be on that?
Yes, I got that from Carrie. Carrie has documentation for it.
And I think we're going to touch on that later, right?
We will, yeah. We will. It's $12,772.12.
And there is a check in the regular district file for that.
Those are for all the EMTs, and I need you to
at some point see
both.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. I
started just, I just did that 1 year, and we didn't last year. And like I said, we got trouble because we didn't have all the board members' signatures, so I thought everybody could sign them tonight. I got to remember to sign. No, Teresa's going to sign these KC vouchers.
All the KC.
Yep.
But is there a more effective way to do this? I mean, does this have to be this doesn't have to be done at a meeting, correct? I'm just thinking, is there a way we could come 10 minutes earlier and do it so the public who's sitting here doesn't have to sit and stare at us sighing for 20 minutes? I don't know. I'm just throwing things
at
the public.
Okay. I don't think, I mean,
this could take...
It takes about 20 minutes.
Then. Okay.
I think so.
We would have to approve them. So we have to go through them and approve them at
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you just need not, okay, even not on
if
checks.
If you don't sign your initial,
fantastic.
I bet you've seen
oh.
it.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
So you could.
You actually approve the vouchers?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Dave?
You know, it might be a thought, the way that used to be doing them at the end of the meeting, so the public didn't have to sit here. People, and I think if people have interest, they can stay.
Yeah.
And if they don't really
they
care, they can
yeah.
go.
Yeah, the reason we changed it is because we had some mistakes going on. People at the end of the meeting were wanting to get out of the meeting, and we weren't reviewing them, in my mind, as close as we should. Or taking care of things that came up mm-hmm. that we should have that we didn't.
That's why I'm just questioning, like, if we did like a, I don't know, 15 minutes. Because to me, I'm kind of like thinking I need to hurry up and sign so we can get on with things. I don't know, just throwing ideas out there.
Yeah.
My other question is, I'm seeing a lot of the same checks. Like a lot of the same people on the checks. So like
there's
this
three to Buffalo EMS.
But I mean these like the same person.
Like Heidi Green?
Yeah. Like I've already signed a couple checks for her.
Well that's because
so I'm just wondering what it's all
because
for.
Right now there is a regular paycheck.
Oh okay.
There is a Christmas bonus paycheck
oh,
and then
what,
there's a
oh.
wild retention.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Usually
so you may see three oh,
perfect.
Most of
so this isn't just like a
it's
payroll.
Not a normal thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just this time
just
of year.
Checking.
Yep.
Okay.
Good. Good.
Madam Chairman.
And is it saying on here what it's for?
Yeah.
Sometimes the commissioners.
It would say on the line.
A day or two before.
Oh, okay. Probably.
There's what's called a consent list. The thing I don't like about a consent list is some, occasionally with that consent list, there's things that slip through the crack too, because they go, oh, it's on the consent list, it must be fine. And there's nothing to document the consent list. So, but that's how the commissioners do it now. They used to just sign them just like we're doing. But I don't know. I guess if the board wants to change it up, we're free to do it. Whatever.
Is that stack of chips ready?
Yeah, no, only needs to sign. Oh. She's focused on the Christmas cards.
I'm into the Christmas spirit here. Okay.
I'm just thinking too in terms of 307 radio and stuff, it's a lot of dead space. I mean, we could sing Christmas carols or something, but
here, Adam. Here's some. Let's see, these are KC checks. Still. So.
Hello.
I suppose.
You want to hand in that white notebook down there, too?
Yeah. And these are, they're working on writing checks, and they need you to look at them and initial to say you've seen it and you approve it.
Okay. I got two, so.
Oh, thank you.
The extra.
Marie, did you get one?
No.
No.
So tires for an ambulance are $3,000?
Yeah.
Is that one ambulance is $3,000? That's $500 a tire?
I think that was through KC, but
we have
to
pay for our own tires.
So, KC had a blowout on their ambulance, I'm sure, and it totally destroyed them. Do you want to talk, like, in kind of in order, even though we're doing this, so we can have some kind of order in the meeting? Go ahead. I'm just trying to keep things gathered up, so go ahead. Go ahead if you want.
I can read it.
Well, they had a tire blowout, and it did damage to their front driver's side fender as well, so they're going to have that repaired. So they bought tires for that ambulance.
May I
They were, I think Crosby said they're 10-year-old tires, so they just went ahead and purchased the set. What?
Bighorn Tire.
Bighorn Tire, is that a problem?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying we use them as well, and I don't recall it being $3,000.
Well, I guess when Crosby calls in, if y'all have a problem with his tire cost, you can ask him.
There might, I wonder if there were servicing or other repairs or something.
There's labor, but it's $443 per tire on this invoice.
Yeah, we've got. That's all right. Take your time. That's why we do it this way.
And are these the only two direct deposits?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Ready for more? Yeah. And Casey, I think there's Casey checks in that forward to the direct deposits.
Equipment.
Okay.
And Carrie
ordered that
okay.
for the ambulance
is
here.
I can answer that.
Sure.
We ordered two units. They're actually, it's a cover that goes on the outside of the ambulance
okay.
where you plug in to an external power supply.
Perfect.
So whenever you're parking your ambulance, you can plug it in and it's
they break.
And
okay.
It will
replace
for two
ambulances. Yeah.
Or just
something. So this is their Christmas bonus.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I didn't do it in auto deposit just because of the time thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gotten it, or I guess because of the weather delay. Maybe it's the same now, but
good.
I thought they would be here to pick it up.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, here's the folder that those payroll
oh.
paychecks go in. The ones you've
gotcha.
Been...
Oh, okay.
They'll probably
all
be
of them
all in this.
That's okay.
All of
I
them
can.
Sense the direct deposits? Or
the direct deposit,
I can
too.
It.
Okay.
Okay, don't worry about
okay.
it. Just
we'll get close here.
We have a lot more of these than usual.
Nice time to come.
Yeah, very nice. Well, it's quite a deal. Some of these people, it might make their whole year.
That's the retention money from
yeah.
Farming
mm-hmm.
Hospital,
the hospital
Association.
Association. Yeah. Gave you those Christmas cards to sign.
Yeah, and I got all
Sorry about that, but I didn't know how else to.
Well, I wanted to write a little note, but it's gonna take me all night if I do.
That's why I just signed my name. Where's the district wide? Is that what you've got right now? Because I have to sign that one.
You have your work cut out for you.
It was a lot this time.
Plus, we had some other things we need to talk about. I forgot to put that. No, it's on there. Never mind. So the way this works is we have KC. Now, we have KC vouchers, and then we have district-wide, and we've separated that out, and then the district-wide covers costs that are directly related to, for example, like under district-wide is the equipment that they just got for their plug-ins, because that's something that we should cover, and then anything else that falls under, you'll see it in the line items. For example, the check to Buffalo EMS, that's a district-wide check. And so that's how it's broken out now.
Well, everyone's signing, Marilyn. What about our email?
Yes, John DeRoor was supposed to contact, he has your phone numbers. He was supposed to contact you because he'll have to do something with your computer that you're going to use to have your, the way I understand it, that he needs to talk to you. But he has your cell phone numbers, and hopefully, I was hoping he'd have that done quickly, but if he hasn't done it yet, then okay, because I think it's better to use a rural healthcare district email address rather than your own. So I'll talk to him,
okay.
See if we can speed that up, or whoever can talk, whenever.
I'm happy to give him a call tomorrow. You probably know his number out right off the top of your head.
Well, I can give it to you. Let me sign this. And
that way he can tell that you don't have to be the middleman.
How about if I just text it to you?
Perfect.
Okay. Okay. This is the district-wide folder, Adam.
Okay. So were there two separate payments?
Three. This pay checks this time. Next month, there'll only be one.
For this, I do this at my home.
Okay. And you just have a printer at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
A printer and a laptop that I purchased it from the district.
The best for
you. At home.
Mm-hmm. And this, all the bank statements. So I like the board members. You never used to see them, but we're supposed to. So I like the board members. have to look at those and initial those and give them back to Teresa.
Is one for Casey?
There's two for Buffalo, Bank of Buffalo. And I'll talk about that in a minute here. When you get a chance, look at that. That training thing is just a suggestion, but it's pretty good training for special district boards.
Yeah, absolutely. Just
and
saw
then
that.
I didn't, Dr. Chin, I didn't give you one. I didn't think of anything.
Guess we'll find out.
I didn't divide anything off. I thought you could figure out where it was most handiest for you to look at those things. Okay, Marie's doing cards. So is it all the checks been signed? Voucher?
Almost.
Okay. Hey, Crosby, did you get the phone number to call in? Okay, so you're going to be calling in shortly. Right? No, 4. Okay, that's fine. We're just finishing up the vouchers right now, so you've got time. Okay. Thanks. We're still going at 5. Okay. So. Oh. All right. So, having the vouchers reviewed and the checks signed, can I have a motion to approve the vouchers and the checks?
So moved. Second that.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. So that has been approved. So before we move on to the minutes, to approve the minutes, since we're all kind of, is there any other questions that you have or thoughts about? Brittany brought up before you got here about maybe changing the way we do the vouchers, so we don't hold up the public as long, do them at the end of the meeting rather than ahead of the meeting. Suggestion of a consent list.
I mean, I think 35 minutes of the meeting were sort of not wasted by any means, but I just feel like we can't, you know, Buffalo Bolton sitting here and then, you know, harnesses and carry. It just doesn't seem very effective use of people's time. So I don't know if maybe 20 minutes before the meeting. I don't know. I'd like to look into more if we have to have the vouchers as part of the meeting, because to me, when we're signing it, we're approving it, in a sense.
When you sign the voucher, you are approving
the
payment.
Yeah.
So coming ahead of time, is better than later.
Or do we
I'm just asking you all. This is work.
It just doesn't seem like an efficient use of time. Like we're, you know, it's dead space on 307 radio, and then not an effective use of the public's time if they're sitting here.
I would be fine coming earlier if it works for people.
And then we would approve the voucher at our meeting.
Right.
We'd have to.
I mean, I'd be interested in kind of discussing or looking into a consent list as well, if we have the controls in place where we all feel comfortable too. But again, I see the benefit.
What's a consent list?
You get a list of all the bills with the dollar amount, who they were for, and then you approve that consent list.
That we would get it ahead of time.
And then,
is that legal?
Commissioners do it.
Is it legal for special districts?
Yeah. I mean, you can do it that way. I'm open to whatever you want to do. I don't particularly like
it. I'm just throwing
like
an idea out there.
I just don't want to get into a situation like we did with the doctors.
And that's why we were doing it at the beginning of the meeting rather than the end, is because like I explained earlier that we had some pretty not good mistakes happen because people were in a hurry to leave the meeting.
Right.
What about?
But if we meet early, if you want to come in, well, we have to make sure with Teresa that you can have him here a half hour earlier.
I can make that work.
Mm-hmm. What about coming in early, and then if we have questions for Buffalo EMS or KC, then when they get here, we can ask those questions, and then we can
vote to approve.
That's my
suggestion. And if the consent list, too, it gives us more time to look it over to be able to just say, hey, this is sticking out.
So do you want to, could we do a list? Because when we see in your packet, there is a list.
That's the prior meeting.
But that's for the last meeting, not this one. So we could probably put a list similar to this together, just the vendor and the check, and attach that, and then come in a half hour early, do the vouchers. We might have to convene the meeting. I got to check on that. I think we'd be okay, but I don't know why we wouldn't, but I'll double check to make sure we're not out of line by doing those vouchers outside of the open meeting. Okay? And then if that's good, if that's okay, how's that sound? We accomplished both things.
Sounds good.
I think with a consent list, if we had that ahead of time, even if we met a little early, I mean, I think we just cut the process in half because we're still going to have to sign the checks. But at least that could be, we could have
a stack over here,
that signing checks, they're all getting looked at, they're all going through our trusted third party anyways, and then we're not going and initialing, if we could just initial once on the consent list, everyone just needs to look at it.
Yeah, and when you come in early, you initial the voucher. We have to have that voucher initialed. Right. So you're still going to be doing some initialing.
Right.
But anyway, if that's the consensus, then I think we should try it.
And then what happens if you have, like, when Marie wasn't here last month for Vegas, did she have to come back in initial vouchers?
No, because we only need three to make a majority of the board. It's just
so the other thing that we could do, too, is if it's troublesome with schedules and stuff is, you know, you only need three people, and Adam's like, hey, I can't be there early, then that's good that there's some leeway that not all five people have to.
And I think if we just make it a little more efficient, that we're all still looking at them. But again, I think with the consent list, I mean, if we're selling to sign, maybe it's only 15 minutes early, or maybe we're done at 4:15 instead of 4:40.
Yeah,
you know, too. So
yeah,
could try it.
Okay, I'll double check. I'll let you know, and we'll try it at your next meeting.
Good job.
Okay. All right. Now, moving on to... Hi, Crosby.
Hey, Marilyn.
Okay, we're just gonna approve the minutes, and we have two sets of minutes to approve this time. We have the special meeting that we had, and that was to actually approve KC's Hospital Association funding. And so, if you, I know you weren't at the meeting. Understand that. Wasn't sure how to work that. So I think we're okay if you just want to, if Marie looks at it and is happy with it, and I look at it and happy with it.
What's that?
The minutes for the special meeting when we did the.
Well, and we already signed the checks, so.
Well, right. There wasn't anything too controversial in that.
No, so just, I mean,
yeah. Dealing with the legalities.
Okay, so I've reviewed them and I'm okay with them. And so, Marie, you want to make a motion to approve?
I move that the special meeting minutes be approved as presented.
Okay.
I can second.
All right, so all in favor of approving the special meeting for November 3rd? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now the next one, that's kind of the same thing, but some of you were here for that one, so I didn't feel quite so concerned about that. The minutes, the regular meeting minutes. And I have, we're going to discuss this, I think. I guess I didn't put it on the agenda, but in the minutes, it'd be on the third page, and it says additional Don DeVore firewall. And it says, it's on the third page, right there. Yeah, right at the very top, firewall, third page. It says, Carrie White said the additional firewall is not needed in Buffalo. Now, I'm confused, and then with the conversation between, emails going back and forth between you and Dawn, when it, with that comment in there, are you talking the firewall that the printers hooked to, or are you talking?
No,
Adam, did you have something?
Oh no, she was answering. I was just saying, she's got it. Just that they were talking about the office.
Yeah, we were talking the office one, not the one the printer is. The printer one, yes. I think Don and I didn't understand that at the meeting, that it was only for the printer out in the ambulance barn, and that currently, and we've since then have a firewall of our own at the office at 351, but the firewall that Don DeVore said we need for the printer is at the ambulance barn, and it hasn't been installed yet, to my knowledge, but yes, we will accept that so that we can get...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's what I wanted to clear up. So when you said here in the minutes, do we need to make... Oh, it says a firewall system is to allow protection between printer on site and connection with... okay, so... So maybe that's clear in the minutes. It just wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, it wasn't clear to me that it was going to be only for the printer, because currently the firewall was, until we replaced it, it was in the office. And every time we tried to do some work through that, we had to bypass that firewall that Digitex was managing. So this is much cleaner, much better.
Yeah.
It only handles the printer in the ambulance barn.
So I like that. So now, It's cut and dried. There's no apartments, there's no funeral home, there's no Sheridan funeral home on any of it.
No.
It's strictly to run the printer.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we get down to that, since we're on the minutes, I want to ask you another question about that.
Okay,
so I guess that's clear enough. Is there any other... I guess I need a motion to approve first.
My only one question is on the nitrous oxide. It says that you said the purchase is for trial basis only. That's like once you purchase it, you purchase it. For the nitrous oxide, right? I mean, once you have it, you have it. It's not really a trial. We don't send it back.
That certainly would be my thought.
Okay. I just was confused about.
Do we need to change some wording there?
I think it's probably, it's already purchased. I think it's
no, fine. We haven't purchased it yet.
Oh, we haven't?
No.
Okay, but you approved the last
we
minute
approved
to purchase
the
it.
Purchase, okay. But it hadn't been purchased to
my
knowledge. We don't have an invoice for it yet.
Just to clear up, I don't think we need to change anything. I thought it was just, we purchase it and there's no trial. It just happens. As we need it.
Well, I suppose if you decide it's not working well or there are hazards, you eat the cost and you don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
But I doubt you could, I don't know.
Trial it.
You might be able to return it, but
it
seems unlikely. I found it unusual about not using it in the back of the ambulance. It would really hamper the utility of it because that's generally when you're going to use it is when there's an extended transfer and you've got a pain situation.
Where did you see that at?
It's in the middle of
the
paragraph
of my concerns,
on page 3.
That I brought up, because that's what I read about it.
And it's an on-demand system, meaning it's not free-flowing. It's when they take a breath, they're getting some.
Yeah. So...
So it seems unlikely there'll be a lot of nitrous oxide floating around in the back of the ambulance.
So can we stick to the approval of the minutes and then,
sure.
So we don't see anything there that you'd like to change, or would you like to have that taken out?
I'm fine.
Okay, and then Dr. Shule, we can come back to that.
Yeah, it's...
Okay.
This doesn't need to be worded any different.
I guess not.
It's accurate from what took place at the meeting.
It's what was said. So... I don't remember saying trial, but I guess I must have. So, so there's a motion on the floor to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Minutes are approved for both meetings. All right. So, since we don't have an elected treasurer at this meeting, I thought I'd just ask Teresa if she noticed anything. Like when we're doing things, we can look at the, in your packet there's a report for November. Looks like this. Okay. And then there's also a printout for last month's expenditures, which you can review. And I guess I'll just say that we're to the halfway point close to the halfway point of our fiscal year. And there's a line item for board expenses that's way off, and and then you might have a question on let's see, the out of county transfers, and I thought Teresa, maybe you could. So, on our out of county transfer line, we're showing a negative Is that to the positive, though?
We're bringing,
we should be.
We have brought in more than what was budgeted.
Budgeted, yeah. So we show a,
showing a negative on the budget.
Yeah.
Because it's above what you budgeted.
Yeah. So we're showing that on a couple of different line items, which is a good problem to have. But anyway, I haven't been the treasurer, so I can't really give you a detailed treasurer's report. Everything looks in line, and I think we're ahead of what we budgeted.
It looks like everything's pretty much in, mm-hmm. well, most of everything. Could you review again? For everyone, the Rural Health Care Board expenses, while we're so far ahead there in expenses, what that stemmed from?
So some of that is from the ambulance repair. That there was insurance money in last fiscal year, but the expense was paid in the early part of this fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a large part of that expense.
Right. Okay.
I don't have 100% of the breakdown that's in there, but I could email that to everybody that shows.
We had quite a few ambulance expenses that we weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Deer hits and transfer cases and then we had a tire blow in KC.
Falls under board expenses?
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of it does.
Okay.
Radio equipment and maintenance. I know a need was mentioned last month, and I see we're a little high. I mean, already, did we get the additional radios that we needed? No, not yet.
I think we're
going to talk about that in advance, perhaps.
Perfect. Yeah. No, yeah. That's great. I just want to make sure, because, we're going to be a little high on that one. So.
Yep. All right. And Casey's following right down the... They've had additional expenses, too, with their ambulance repairs. But I think Casey Crosby will probably address that. So, with that, really good treasurer's report. Could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
And all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So I expect the next month's treasurer's report to be much better. All right, next is the Buffalo Director's Report. Dave, the floor is yours.
Okay, it was kind of a slow month, November. Winter time does slow down. Obviously, we don't have the population in Wyoming. We had 57 called. Seven of them were 50 were medical, and seven were trauma. We had seven transfers, two to Billings, two to Casper, and one to Rapid City and two to Douglas. We had two nurse transfers is all, and we had three out-of-county transfers, one to Billings, one to Casper, and one to Denver. They didn't stay, they just went down and back the same day.
Oh,
and it was a Sheridan hospital transfer, so it brought in a significant chunk for rural health care. We had in town, we had 41, out of town, we had 16. 51 of them were Johnson County residents, six were non-residents. We had 15 patient refusals, which for as a percentage is quite high.
Yeah.
And 23 were Medicare pay, five were Medicaid, six were insurance, four were self-pay, and one was a VA. So I think our EMTB class is just about over, going to finish on the 17th. And we may realize a couple of EMTs out of that. And the A class started, we're running two classes simultaneously, which is a bit of a grunt, but God bless Beth Sharp is kind of spearheading all that for us and doing a great job. And we have the A class, you know, to try to create some team within the community. We're having a lot of doctors and nurses teach those classes. Beth teaches some, I teach some, I'm teaching tonight at the B class, and Dr. Tab is teaching at the A class. And I think we got, gosh, I think we got most of the, a lot of the staff from the healthcare center to help us teach. And it brings the AEMTs closer to the ER folks and the doctors, and I think that's all a good deal. Bring a lot of goodwill.
That's good.
And I don't know if we have any wax to the ambulance this month.
any other questions for Dave? Were you?
No, I'm done.
Okay. Does anybody else have questions for Dave?
That's good.
Yeah. Did the Sheridan ambulance transfers stop since they started?
You know they're going to dwindle because of how the way they've changed. Yeah. I don't think they'll stop. I think they're going to, because it's such a busy thing, and maybe it is. If we make three a month at, you know, $6,000 a piece, yeah, that's going to be a chunk, but it's not going to be what it was, yeah, just because of how they've restructured their whole system.
Are you working on a contract with them still?
You know, we should be, but we're not. And I think that's kind of moot since Rocky Mountain is gone. I really do. I think they're going to call us when the service is up there. There was some talk about them buying a van and transporting a lot of the, because WBI, we went there a lot. And those people really don't need a lot of, you know, physical care, they just need mental care. So, you know, I think that's probably not going to happen, to be honest. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I think it, because we were waiting for the change in from Rocky Mountain to the Campbell County new venture, we were going to wait and see. Certainly our requests have dwindled, so I think that kind of tells us that it's not as time sensitive. I think we might like to have a meeting with the new people that are, and we can certainly set something up with board members or maybe have them from here. But I think so many things have changed that writing a contract now with a fixed amount might not be what they're asking for.
And it may not be a bad idea to go talk to the hospital administrator and say, are you still interested in contracting with us at all? And my guess, he's going to probably say, if not now. But we'll do that, though.
So what I understood was that they're purchasing the van, they're putting a cage on it like a law enforcement vehicle, and stocking it with some things, to do their Title 25s. If you want to talk, I mean, Chris Belts called the other day, and he's willing to come to a meeting and talk all things Wyoming Regional. So if the board is agreeable to that, we can invite him to come to our next meeting, or at some point have them come and talk to the board, and then Dave and all of them will be here, and we could just do it all at once.
I think that's a great idea.
I think it might be more valuable after they've tried this on a while, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of ambitious plans, and I have a feeling there's going to be some economic realities and some modifications as it goes. So
probably
3 months from now might be a more meaningful discussion.
Maybe set it for March or something like that, you think?
Yeah.
Or even April?
I'm just astounded by the idea that three rigs can service all of Sheridan County. I can't wrap my head around that, but that's what they're talking about right now.
I don't, you know, because we have three rigs out quite a bit in Buffalo for once in a while, but you've got transfer here to transfer there. You've got one rig in town. What do you do with the second call? I agree with Dr.
Standby going on. And,
if if they do come over, they can probably explain all that.
And they may be saying, under the current plans, we're going to need some help now and then.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be able to make transfers all the time, and there may be some now and then when they want us to help with transfers, so that could come up
too. So you think March?
Just to make up a day, yeah. That
anybody else have any thoughts?
Yeah, they might need to try on their system for a while to figure it out.
Okay.
I never thought about that. They only have 3 ambulances?
Now, I talked with Mike McCafferty in Sheridan 2 months ago, and at that time, that was his understanding. So has that changed? Perhaps that's 2-month-old information.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else for Dave? All right. Hearing none, let's move on to the KC director's report. Crosby?
As you guys probably seen, November was really slow. Had 2 trauma calls, 2 medical calls, all ended up being transports. We had no refusals or cancellations, so, which we have months like that in the fall and spring sometimes. But on one of the calls to Casper last month, a front tire blew on MS-264, and it almost completely ripped the fender off when it blew. Managed to get it to the side of the road. Nobody was hurt, nothing like that. Took a bunch of pictures. So I got new tires put off the other day. You probably saw the bill for the tires. They're horribly expensive. And I went by Ed's to get an estimate on getting it fixed. It's still 100% operational. It just looks really bad. But those tires, I looked at the day code on them, were original tires. So they were 10 years old. They just had a lot of tread on them and no weather checking, no cracking, no nothing. Had been balanced, rotated, all the things. So it was kind of just a freak deal, but it just completely exploded.
So there's any other questions for Crosby?
Just thinking, were you transporting a patient at the time, Crosby?
Yes. Yeah, we had a patient.
Is there any kind of thing you have to follow up in terms of, like, liability-wise with any of that?
It was well documented in Waters on, you know, delay of transport. Of course, they got right on the phone, got Casper to come out and get the patient, finish the transport. I know for a fact there was no negative outcome on the patient, but yeah, I guess if there ever was something to come back on it liability-wise, I don't know. We keep all the records of inspections, I mean, weekly tire checks, vehicle checks. We've covered our bases every way we could on saying these rigs are 100% safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, Crosby, I guess there's no other questions for you. Thank you for your report.
Yep.
Okay, moving on to old business. So we're, I guess I addressed this under our agenda. There's nothing to update on the RFP. There hasn't been anything done with it. It's just sitting. Was there any questions about that from the board? Okay. So moving on, payroll tax retention, pay amended contract or write in new contract. We have an amendment that Barry Crago drafted, and it's in the amount of $12,772.12 to be paid to, it was in the vouchers, to be paid to Buffalo EMS for their Wyoming Hospital Association retention funds. And the board approved it with the eye. Well, we didn't approve it. So we had a conversation about it, but Scott made a motion, it wasn't seconded, so we tabled it to this meeting. So is there any discussion on this amendment?
This is the same thing that Casey got the $41,000 for?
Yeah.
Okay, how come such a big discrepancy?
Depends on how many EMTs you have, how many calls. They went back and looked at all the calls for 2021, wasn't it, Gary?
Yes, but this $12,000 is for payroll taxes.
It's only payroll taxes.
So Buffalo receives...
So that's not what your employees are getting?
No.
Oh.
They received $120,000.
Oh, that did not make sense.
And this was the payroll taxes.
Oh, okay.
And I do have a spreadsheet that...
That makes sense.
So this is the amendment Barry wrote.
Okay.
I made the comment that I don't care for it, but the lawyer wrote it, and...
Can you say how come you don't care for it?
Because it was unconstitutional, and this is a way to get around the unconstitutionalness of it. I felt like there might be another way to do it, but that's what Barry drew up, and it's pleasure of the board. So,
and this just shows the Social Security and Medicare was $9,200. Federal unemployment, workers' comp, state unemployment. So it's detailed in here. And then Dave did sign that for Buffalo EMS with that amount. And if the board so chooses.
Dave signed the contract already?
This one, the amendment.
All right. Well, we don't need this one then.
As long as you guys want to sign it.
Well, I think we need to sign it. I didn't realize Dave already had one and signed it.
Yeah, but we can.
So mine's just a duplicate. I don't care which one is.
So and I just have two copies: one for you guys and one for us. And then the details of the payroll taxes.
So it creates some conditions whereby these payroll taxes can be paid with public funding and not violate statute?
Yeah, it's a way around that by having according to Barry, you have to be able to provide some sort of service for that money because it's basically
a gift.
Yes. So his way around it to make this possible was to do an amendment to the original contract.
So we're taking away the $12,000. That's wrong.
We are going to, we paid Buffalo EMS the $12,000 for their payroll taxes.
Yep.
Is what we're doing.
Yep. And we've already done it.
Well, we wrote the check today.
It's in this month's vouchers.
We approved it.
But this contract amendment has not been signed by the board.
So in order to make it official, we need to approve this amendment.
And the alternative would be what?
The alternative would be to wait until the negotiations with Buffalo EMS for the next fiscal year and include it in that.
So add $12,000 to
whatever
contract.
That amount is, but this works. I mean, it does what it gets Buffalo EMS the money. So
and as long as it's, I would assume, since Barry did it, it covers the legality of it.
I would hope so.
The only thing that I have a question about is the address. Is our address still 351 Adams?
No. I don't think that's going to be a killer for the amendment, but it should be box 1240.
Okay, so we could just initial it.
Yeah, you can. But, okay, is there any other questions or discussion from the board?
Do we need a motion on this?
Yeah, yes, we do.
Okay, I move that we approve the amendment to the contract between Johns County Rural Healthcare District and Buffalo EMS as prepared by our attorney, Barry Craigle.
Second.
Okay, is there any other discussion before we vote?
So when the contract comes due in June, do do we take 12,000 out of the contract, or
no,
it's just a moot point after
well,
this?
I suppose that could be an option, but it could be a moot point as well. I guess it would have to be up to the board. But the whole idea is to cover the cost because it was an unexpected expenditure for Buffalo EMS.
Taken care of now.
But at budget time, I suppose that could be part of the conversation.
So this is not a payroll tax that happens every year?
No, this is
why is this year so different? Sorry.
It's a one-time.
Money was given, but.
So it's still not an expense to us?
Yes, 100%. So, okay, so Carrie, you want to explain?
Well, this was through COVID funds. The state of Wyoming set aside $500,000 for EMT retentions. The end of November, they decided that this is how they were going to do it, by it providing EMTs with a bonus.
Yeah.
But in the contract that, in the stipulations of the grant, if you accepted that money, that no part of the grant could be used to pay for payroll taxes. That 100% of that money went to EMTs. So whoever received the grant had to say, yes, they will be responsible for the payroll taxes. Marie Miller, two meetings ago, said, I think we should pay for those because it's an unexpected, and reasoning was because we, Buffalo EMS, had provided $400,000 worth of revenue. Let's give back that money, and we are going to incur that as an expense. You've also incurred an additional expense for the KC bonus. Whatever percentage that is, it's usually 10 to 11% of the 41,000.
So we're still having to pay a payroll tax for the 41,000 that we just gave to KC.
Right.
Yeah. And but that was in this month's vouchers, I'm sure.
Okay. And then we go to.
I mean, it probably wasn't $12,000, but we still ate that much too.
3,000. Yes, we're gonna.
So yeah, it's all fair. It just. Determining how. Yeah, I'm
and
good.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's just you designed with Marilyn.
Okay.
And it was.
So, any other discussion on it?
No, I just want to clarify. In the special meeting, that's, Scott did make that motion, and it was approved that it be paid, but we still need to approve.
We, yes.
Yeah. So, amendments. Yes. Approve the amendment.
Yeah. And when we were talking about it at our regular meeting, there was another motion, and that didn't carry. So,
okay. Well, then that would be
anyway, it's good. So, if there's no other discussion, all those in favor of approving the amendment to the Dave's original contract, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Well, Teresa, I'm going to make a copy of that. And then I'll give that to you for record keeping so I don't lose it.
This is the original.
No, there's two. There's two. One for them and one for us. Okay. So Carrie needs one. And. Okay. All right. Moving on. Well, we agreed to table the conversation about the stipend for the Title 25 patients because the county attorney, when I visited with him, wanted to be present for that discussion, and he can't be here today. So. That's a table. So the next item is the employee handbook. Dr. Schuler, there's one in your packet, or you have it there. So we tabled this at the last meeting just to give the new board members a chance to review it and with the idea that we could approve it at this meeting. And then we'll have to have Crosby and Michelle sign it. And there's a, I believe there's a piece in here that says they understand that they are at-will employees as well as.
So kind of the halt, the holiday pay, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff was taken out.
Well,
and it was there prior.
We took things out and we just need to, I don't know if Barry, you can see where things were axed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So those, before we print the final one, those will come out. But there are places in there for vacation and sick leave and all those kind of things. And we included, and Carrie helped with this as well, and we included our credit card, all those policies in the handbook.
Okay.
And up to this point, oh, Carrie?
Well, I just, Barry had asked for me to review it after the meeting, and
yep.
I found a typo, but then a couple of questions that I have.
Okay.
On page 21, 8.4, it states the district will provide short-term temporary disability pay.
Oh,
I don't think that.
Yeah, we were supposed to take that out.
Yeah.
Yep, that's supposed to come out. Yep.
And then also, but I gave
yes.
him those typos.
Did you tell him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm sure he's aware of the
yeah.
And then page 24, instead of sheriff's office, I think it should be something else. The board.
What number? For what letter?
24K. I think that was something that, since we used the Johnson County handbook,
oh.
that it just didn't get
yeah.
taken out.
Yeah, that needs to go. Well, let's see. It says involving property damage or personal injuries involving a district-owned vehicle.
Right.
But the sheriff's office is what I think she said it should be.
But should they, you should, the board should be the first person.
Right. But probably they're thinking if there's some damage, then the sheriff or somebody's going to know about it. But I think I'm okay with taking sheriff's office out.
Page 30, do we have a privacy officer? Is this new? Like, we now need a privacy officer because it looks like it's newly added.
Is that for HIPAA?
It just says that both Buffalo EMS and KC Ambulance Services does need a privacy officer to oversee all confidentiality issues.
Yeah, I believe that is a HIPAA, and we do have
yeah.
people assigned to those duties.
For use.
Yeah, I think
Buffalo EMS has one.
Buffalo EMS and then the Rural Healthcare District.
There is someone for here. Oh, okay.
Basically the chairman.
Oh.
So, okay. anything else? Just really out there that we need to. I will say that when Crosby started, there was no handbook, nothing. And we've tried for 4 years now to get this handbook approved. And Crosby was working on a really, basically was told to make the KC ambulance work however he needed basically to do it. So he didn't have a whole lot of, other than we want this to work
yeah.
and have people on call and cut down your response times and all of that. And he's done that.
Perfect.
So this will give them some guidance too, because they're just really in writing hasn't been any. And the auditors will really appreciate it as well.
Crosby, are you good with the employee handbook?
I don't think you've seen it yet.
Oh.
We have never seen it.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't.
So we obviously need to give them time to sign.
I think so.
Review.
Yeah.
Have there been changes to the bylaws to match any changes here, like as far as maybe like the privacy officer, for example, then is it in the bylaws who the privacy officer is?
No, because we don't put that in bylaws.
Okay. There's not policies. Is it just the bylaws? It's not
that's,
like policies and procedures?
No, the policies that we have are listed in the handbook.
Okay, sounds good.
So we don't have a privacy officer policy. We have a public records officer.
Okay.
But we haven't really officially designated a public privacy person.
Okay.
So that just falls to whoever's...
And yeah, just some food for thought, I guess, when it's going in here and it says, you know, that both entities should have a, you know, a privacy advisor.
Now, and just so you understand, this handbook, there's only a few things in it that pertain to Buffalo EMS. It's because we don't have Buffalo EMS, we don't tell
them...
We're
not employees of the
district. No, we don't tell them how to...
But they have their own.
But... oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, no, and I just, I mean, more, yeah, I get that. More that it says Buffalo EMS and KC Ambulance will designate a privacy officer.
And yeah,
again, that's
and
a
there
small
are,
example. But
yeah, there are a few pieces in there where it would pertain to everybody, but for the most part, it's for KC.
Gotcha.
My only, with Adam, my only concern is when we say we have designated a privacy officer and nobody really knows who that is or what their duties entail, if something happens to where there is a HIPAA violation and things occur, it's going
to
come back on us and they're going
to
say, well, who is it?
Yeah.
So, well,
we need to have it.
Whoever
right.
raises their hand, I mean,
right.
I just think it needs to be a little bit more.
It'd be one of you new board members. So.
Yeah, I agree. It's just kind of in the, yeah, the.
So that's one we need to work on.
And I don't think it needs to change in
no.
the handbook. I
no,
think
we just need it in writing.
What it is and mm-hmm. what exactly.
Yep.
I can't imagine that there's never been a HIPAA violation. Called, you know, but,
yeah.
I mean, like in...
I'm crushed.
I know. Well, I just mean like... But obviously, no one's ever maybe brought a formal complaint forward in terms of
their privacy being violated.
Yeah,
not to my knowledge. Have you ever heard of anybody doing that, Carrie? Not yet.
I mean, it's,
but
you know,
it's totally
when they
possible.
Blast it over the scanners to the address that you're going to. It's pretty obvious.
Now, it's funny you bring that up, Brittany, because that's what our radio committee meeting we talked about that in our. Radio. I'll visit with you offline about that. But
I mean, the
anyway.
Last time there was a call and they said that for a 41-year-old female having a seizure, well, all you have to do is Google that address and tell you who the 41-year-old female is having the seizure. So
yeah.
The whole HIPAA thing is interesting to me. It's, you know,
yeah.
how intense do you get with HIPAA in terms of that? But
yeah, I'll talk to you
okay.
about that if you're interested. So,
I make a motion to approve the employee handbook with the designated changes sent to Barry.
And do you want to have Crosby look at it? Or just
I would like, I mean, yeah,
that's
if
right,
it's for
I
them,
would, yeah.
if we can have them look at it and get, and you know, briefly.
I rescind my motion.
It looks good.
Or just add to it.
But just that we, I mean, just that.
Once Crosby
we just
approved.
Received it tonight and I.
Or has a chance.
Yeah.
I would say maybe if we can get the amendments made and have a proposed.
Clean copy.
Yeah, a proposed maybe final draft next month and maybe if we get that ahead of time to review, I'd like
and
to.
And Crosby.
I apologize. I've got to teach right now.
Oh, okay.
So
thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, so the motion is to approve, well, we're just going to have the changes made, so we don't need a motion. We'll have the changes made, and then we'll have a clean copy. We'll get it to Crosby to review, and then at our next meeting,
we can
finalize it.
Perfect.
All right.
So no motion.
Right. Okay.
I'll ask Dr. Schubert to sign those. Or maybe you did.
Not those ones.
Yeah, okay.
That's your signature, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You got those.
It's not very good.
That's how come I knew it was yours.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. Past records. So the reason that's on there is because when we decided, when it came up that we did not have Buffalo EMS was no longer going to, or whoever, Harness Funeral Home or Buffalo EMS, whoever, was not going to provide bookkeeping and such any longer, and then we were going to have to come up with an office space and place to retain our records and things like that. That's what this is about. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but my question to the board is, I think, and Teresa, maybe you can answer this. So like with the financials, we need to keep those for, what is it, 5 years, 3 years?
The IRS is seven.
Seven? Oh, okay.
And it needs to be, that would be a kept long-term, probably at KC.
Yeah, so.
I would say records would have to be within a year's time more local. Like I have the mm-hmm. current bills and information kept in a file cabinet here. But permanent records should be stored probably in KC if that's now your physical address.
That's what we, the board, approved for our physical address. So we're going to need 5 years worth of, or 7 years worth of documents. And then if there's major things, and Carrie can answer this better than anybody, things like the resolution, the original resolutions, the, you know, those made, I don't think we need to have a million sheets of paper, but if we had like the 7 years of financials and we had the major documents that pertain to the rural health care district, is what I'm suggesting that we could get and have in the official office.
And then what do we do with the rest? Do we have a shredder company for them? Or? What do we do?
I think the rest is more of a, like other records I would have are records about life packs and
equipment
and
inventories.
Inventories, and I think those still need.
You need to have those.
And maintenance yeah. agreement for the life packs, so I mm-hmm. know when
yep.
we need to have that scheduled.
Right. Right. Well, I agree with Carrie on that. There's
yeah.
things that need to be in Buffalo EMS
yeah.
as well as KC.
Right. I just meant, have you gotten rid of all the, like, past 7 years or 10 years, 15 years of financials?
I think I probably have 8 or 9 years worth because we used to have also a 5-year audit, and by the time we got to the 5-year audit, it was already, we were well into our 6th or 7th
yeah.
year.
Right.
But
yeah.
those I can give to whomever. And then I'll provide those other documents that Marilyn said, and just some of the board type documentation. I can get that started and give to Teresa, Marilyn, you know, whoever wants it to take it to. Or take it to the next meeting that's held in KC.
Yeah, that'd be the way to do it.
Yeah.
Just load it up and haul it down there. Okay, is there any other moving along here? All right. Now, the next thing on the agenda is the budget, or audit, 21 to 22. The reason that's on there is because we got a letter or an email from Cloud Peak saying they didn't think they could complete our audit. And it looks like they're not going to be able to complete it. It's supposed to be completed by December 31st. So,
of this year?
Yeah. So what I did is I made some phone calls. I talked to Porter Muirhead in Casper and ask them if they might be willing to do us a favor and take on our audit for this year. And they said they could, no way could they get it done by the end of December. However, we sent them some, had Teresa send them some information. I sent them last year's audit. They were going to look at it and determine if they could work it in after the first of the year. What that means is we would have to have the state, we'd have to notify the state and let them know our situation and ask for an extension. Porter Muirhead told me that they've had this happen before, it's happened before, and that the state works real well with them. So they felt like if we wrote a letter to the state and we had an engagement letter with Porter Muirhead, then the state should probably give us an extension. Now, the other thing with Porter Muirhead, if they decide they can do it for us, is the estimated cost is around $20,000. And what we had budgeted for this year to do the audit was $17,000. So it would cost us, you know, another three, possibly a little more, if Porter Muirhead agrees to do it. Now, if Porter Muirhead does not agree, then we're going to have to go, I don't know where, to
what? What was Cloud Peak's reasoning?
I have their letter.
I mean,
is it just an email or is it an actual?
It was an email, and it went to myself and Marilyn. It says, Marilyn and Teresa, our firm has unfortunately experienced a staff reduction that was sudden, unexpected, and significant. This greatly impacts our ability to complete our engagement as quickly and timely as we had planned. In light of this fact, I am proposing the following options. The first one being, we understand that this unforeseen circumstance may necessitate your ending our engagement and seeking the service of another firm. We appreciate your need to what's best for your firm. Okay, I'm not sure. We appreciate your need to what's best for your firm. We are moving to immediately find staffing solutions that will enable us to complete all our engagements. We anticipate there will likely be delays to our schedule, but we are committed to do our best in completing the work as soon as possible. So
they could still do it.
They could still do it, but they can't give it a certain time frame,
no.
And there hasn't been
and
any
there,
communication.
I don't believe there's been anybody in the office.
Quad looks
what
dead.
Who's bought out Steve at Mohat?
Mohat, Godwin. And
They don't do,
they don't do
audits. These are like government audits, and very few accounting firms are willing to do government audits.
And we haven't paid Cloud Peak at all.
So the hospitals replaced their auditor, who previously was Cloud Peak, who have a lot of experience with healthcare related facilities. If this outfit in Cheyenne can't do it, that might be an option.
It could be, and maybe we should talk to them.
I can get the name of that firm from our CEO if you'd like.
Yeah, if you could get that and forward it to me, then I'd be happy to give him a call. Because I don't know if Porter Muirhead will be able to do it.
And they're in Casper.
Yeah. Porter Muirhead does the fire district. They do the cemetery district. They do the county itself. They're very thorough, very efficient. I have no problem with Porter Muirhead.
As this is historically, I mean, I'm sure it was close to that $17,000 mark last year, if that's what was budgeted.
Yeah, it's been running, I think, I can remember $14,000, but it's been running, because we did I kind of proposed that we use Porter Muirhead a couple years ago, and their bid came in, I think it was $2,000 or $3,000 higher than Cloud Peak, and so the board opted to go with Cloud Peak. For, and they've been doing our audit for years.
I think either way, I mean, shouldn't they supply, I mean, maybe even a little more official in this email, a letter? I mean, we engage their services with plenty of time that, you know, they're dropping the ball, whether we have to move or not. Should we have a letter from them that would probably help with the state as well, explaining the situation? I mean.
No, I think that'd be legitimate request.
The ball's been dropped on a couple other things, I believe, and they've actually been the ones that have had to file the extension. I mean, just where, I mean, timelines don't get met, taxes, I mean, things don't get put in time, and, I mean, when you engage their services, I think, I mean, they're the ones trying to work through those extensions and stuff. It's not always...
What are you talking about exactly, Adam, about the past?
Not on this board. I'm just saying in general. Nothing to do with anything here. I'm just saying,
If
when timelines have not been met, you contract someone to do a job for you. There's some responsibility there to either, you know, make sure we're not the ones getting penalized. Is all I'm saying.
Okay, I mean, I don't think it hurts to request a letter.
I think it helps to send to the state.
Yeah.
Did they say seven? Like, did they give you a ballpark? I'm just wondering, is there a way you can send something to the state to say we budgeted 17 based on what Cloud Peak told us?
Yeah, we have an engagement letter. I don't have it with me, but there is a...
Does the state reimburse us for the difference?
No way. Mm-mm. Nope. The only way we could maybe get reimbursed is to go after...
I just mean like the $3,000 extra.
Oh, yeah,
like
no. No.
It doesn't sound like we have much of a choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, Porter Maryhead was my first go-to, but if Dr. Shuler has another contact, then we should look at it as well. Yeah, I think.
I don't blame anyone at this point. You know, it's December 12th that they can't get it done. So if they can, if these other folks can't, I mean, at least if someone could get to it in January.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll get the info from Dr. Shuler, wait to hear from Porter Maryhead, and contact Dr. Shuler's resource and see where we are. Hopefully we'll know something at least from Porter Maryhead in a week or so. Okay. Call for old business. We put down grants, liability insurance, and I just added these. I told Carrie we kind of talked about the firewall clarification in our minutes, so I think we're good there. I was going to ask you, I got to remember, how valuable do you think that printer is? Because Don told me that his bid to run the internet cable to the garage at the funeral home was going to be $4,600 plus the firewall. So he was looking to see if he could find something less expensive. So he was checking about putting a dish of some sort, like a little Verizon or Visionary disc or something up to try to do that. But when I talked to him this morning, he didn't have the cost yet on that. So I was just going to ask you, just how useful is that printer? Is it like not at all?
No, it's not at all.
That's what I thought you would say.
Basically because sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But now that we get texts on the email through REMS, or not through email, but text on the phones, where you just push the link and it shows you a map. So with that new technology, I would say don't spend the money.
That's what I was going to suggest, but I wanted to talk to you first.
No.
So we have two firewalls. I talked to Don. We can send them back, or we can keep the one. KC needs a firewall anyway, but we would be saving quite a little money by not even having the printer. I know that the fire departments don't use the printer at all. So the only people using the printer are the two ambulance services. And it started out when they put the new RIM system in dispatch. They went to all the districts and they said, if you will contribute $25,000 apiece to each district, that we'll be able to provide you with a printout that you can, it's like a grab-and-go thing, and the printout was supposed to be at the ambulance before they left, and there was supposed to be a map with it. Well, that's been, what, Carrie, 10, 15 years now?
And a map to tell you where to go?
Yeah, that was the idea, that the RIMS system at dispatch would give you a map. Because there's addresses out there, you get the call, you know, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So
I would give information about, and some time stamps.
Right.
When the call was received. And the theory was you just get into the ambulance car, you grab it, and you get in the vehicle. But
like a big city.
But now it's on text messages, where, you know, it's a kind of a somewhat of an interactive map.
How long has that been there or been in place?
Three, 4 years we've done the
texting. With the texting, yeah.
Or for the, I mean, the printer. Has it been that long?
Oh, we've had that printer at least 10 years, if not more.
Yeah. And I don't know if you ever remember using that.
No, we never.
It was in the office for a time, and
I
moved it out to the...
Never got used once, and so I just, you guys don't use it, right?
No,
I'd make a motion
to
send back one firewall and... Especially with, if he's saying that's the cost to get an internet line out there, that's...
Well, he was looking to see if he could find something less expensive, but...
Yeah.
But if they have that technology, they don't...
Yeah, we don't... So, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any other discussion on that? Okay, hearing none.
The check, I do have a question. The check
we've just signed
for both of them. Firewalls. Do I just...
I think we don't send it. I think we need to void it and pay for one firewall, because KC has to have that firewall whether they use that printer or not.
Okay, so I'm going to have the okay of the board to just write another check that's just for one firewall and then get with somebody to
sign it. Okay, is that agreeable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Need a motion?
We can make a motion to authorize Teresa, if one of you wants to do that.
I'll make a motion to authorize Teresa to rescind the void the check for both firewalls and only issue one new check for the KC firewall.
Second.
Everybody in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So that's what we'll do.
Cool.
And I think that's it. Good move. Okay, then under the grants, Carrie.
Well, I guess in the newspaper I read that there was a grant, in the Buffalo Bulletin, there was a grant that was decided that we did not qualify for. Rejected as ineligible, and I just hadn't heard an update in the meeting and how that came about and what they mean by ineligible.
Well, that was, remember, so we put two grants in. Originally, a grant was to help fund a new building, and the second grant was to purchase an ambulance and some ambulance equipment. So what the SLID board came back and said, because they're breaking these up, so what they came back and said is that the ambulance and equipment project wasn't eligible, it was not qualified, did not qualify. And the reason it didn't qualify is, do you have Alex's checks done?
I gave them to him.
Oh, okay. So, and the reason it didn't qualify is because there's nothing in the federal and the state regulations that were going to allow us to apply for that. They had a construction project, and they had some other projects, but they said this one did not meet the requirements of the grant, so they denied it. We tried, but, and I knew at the time it would be a stretch, but I thought, well, maybe. You never know. So that's what that one's about. And then you probably want to know about the Motorola radio grant.
Right.
Okay, I was in Cheyenne this week. I talked to, or most of last week, I talked to the man that is in charge of those, that Department of Transportation WildLink grant. He said they still haven't issued any awards. They're hoping that they can get the awards issued maybe in the next couple weeks. That's that one. What else?
Well, and then I do have just a request from Buffalo EMS to the Rural Healthcare District. Instead of hiring a grant writer or having someone that is paid on a commission for grants, if Buffalo EMS sees an opportunity for grants, whether it's radios, equipment, I just would like permission to go ahead and go forth, not necessarily apply, but start the application process on behalf and then bring it to the board for your approval before things are sent in. For instance, there's one, a rural emergency medical services training grant that we might be able to get some training equipment. We're realizing that we're having to have basic and advanced classes. We'd like to do an EMR class. I think that's going to be our future for a while, to attract new people. And that's been very expensive for us, that we've just kind of had to eat those expenses, hoping that we'll get new qualified EMTs. So that's one example. Of course, we wouldn't sign anything and make any promises without presenting it to the board. That way, not a board member is not having to write the grants.
I think that, I appreciate you being transparent with that, and I think that when it comes to things that are out of your pocket, I think that's, you do whatever you want with the grants, in my opinion.
That's just what I was going to say. If it's a grant that Buffalo EMS wants, there's nothing to stop Buffalo EMS unless it's a grant that has to run through a government entity.
Right, and that's the majority of the grants that we would qualify for would be that. Now, that being said, the grant then would come to the rural healthcare. It would not come to Buffalo EMS. So then it would be your decision to
either do it or not.
Yeah, do it or not, and or if we do a training grant, maybe KC needs something too.
Mm-hmm.
I know that just like the Motorola grant, if we can get a bunch of radios,
because that was a $20,000 grant for what, seven radios?
Do we currently pay someone to write a grant?
No.
Oh. No. I'd say absolutely. If it's something, and then it comes before us, and then.
I don't think there's any harm in it.
Or the equipment would never be Buffalo EMS if it's signed off by
sure.
the government entity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate that because you see that opportunities where, like me personally, I don't see those opportunities. And
you know your needs.
Well,
yeah. And if you have a need, then KC probably has a need, then.
Right.
Yeah, no,
right. And Marilyn has been wonderful
about
applying for grants, but it's time consuming.
Well, it's really time consuming.
And then follow up is time consuming.
Yeah.
Right,
so.
And then there's regulations that go with the grants that are time consuming as well. But I personally don't see any problem with Carrie. Doing some research and bringing it to the board.
Beth has expressed an interest and has shown me some opportunities that, yeah, that we could.
The more the better.
I think if there's some collaboration needed, you know, and that, you know, we need to earmark some for KC or certain things, and then we can work together, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I don't think we need a motion on that. I think we can just move forward with that.
Thank you. That's great.
Liability insurance, just an update quick on that for old business. I talked with Trevor again today. Trevor said the we're covered now. He's just waiting for the form to come in. He thought he might have it by the end of the week. So they have to have this liability certificate to get their ambulances re-licensed.
Yeah, and it's just kind of unfortunate that it is ends at December 31st, mm-hmm, when our license ends, and typically we don't pay for the renew the liability until January,
right,
even though the policy is in effect. This year the state decided they weren't going to issue the license without that certificate of insurance. So
that threw every ambulance service and
exactly,
date in a pickle. But he thinks he will have it by the end, by in a week or so.
I've had several notices from State EMS that the license will expire, and that's the reason it's taking longer to get it renewed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Everything else they have, once a year we have to do that. And you know that as medical director, you have to sign off on the Buffalo portion of it. The director signs off. Go through a process of giving them the VIN numbers of your VIN of your ambulance, the area that you serve. A lot of it's repetitive, but it is something you fill out every year.
So it raises another issue, which is medical director, which technically from the letter I wrote you resigning as medical director, we don't have a replacement at this point for Buffalo EMS. In the meantime, there are EMTs who need to be signed and the renewal of the license. So the reason for the resignation is that I can't be paid and be on the board, but I don't know that there's any legal issue with me finishing up paperwork and allowing the license to be renewed. I don't have a problem with that if that's not a conflict.
I don't see that as a conflict.
There just can't be any more reimbursement.
Did you guys get your conflict, it's off the subject, but your conflict forms to fill out?
I don't
well,
have
at any, at we any, didn't
okay.
give them one, but I have.
Okay, well, at any rate, we can do that later. But I'm trying to think, Dr. Shuler. I don't think by doing that you're got a conflict. I do think by being the medical director you probably do. But to just do what you're talking about.
Is there a reason Dr. Goddard couldn't do it since he's technically in that role?
Well, so let's stay kind of on the subject here, and then we can talk about that.
Oh, I thought that was on the subject.
No, it's not on the agenda to talk about a new medical director.
But you're saying, I mean, you're going to essentially still be medical director until a new one comes, I mean, on a volunteer basis, but you'll still be acting
right
in that role.
I mean, they'll need me to sign a license renewal, and we may not have a new person as medical director when that time comes, but I'm still willing to do those things.
I think that's a problem.
I think our liability of not having a medical
director
versus
a conflict of interest is
bigger.
You won't get a paycheck starting in January.
Right.
Okay. Can you wait till public comment, or is this something?
Just about that, for him signing off. I think there's one advance that you have to sign off on. Mine isn't renewable until for two more years, so I think that's my one you have to sign off on.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but we still need a medical director.
Soon. Yeah, okay. So is there any other, I think we're done with that discussion. No, we did add that medical director as part of the, okay, so we might as well talk about, it's under new business, this is old. So let me just talk about First Interstate Bank. So Marie reminded me that we have an account at the First Interstate Bank. I took them a letter this afternoon saying to take Jim Hicks, Scott McBride, and Mark Haynes off the account and add the new board members. So what you need to do now, some of you, they have your information already, but, and Marie, you're on there.
Oh, I am.
Yes. Okay. So what we need to do now is have you all stop in at the First Interstate Bank and sign or give them whatever information. That account is sitting at $9,000+. And what Teresa found out is that there's some outstanding checks that never went through.
There are, and those need to be cleared from the bookkeeping. They've been on.
And that was worth $9,000+. Because my thought was, why are we keeping $9,800 or whatever it was?
Well, it's $9,800 is the current balance, but the bookkeeping shows $9,500.
Yeah, that hasn't cleared.
No. Oh.
Oh, okay.
That would only be like $300.
Oh, all right. Okay, I read that wrong because I was like, what? So my thought was, why are we keeping that much money in that account? Because it's the VA. Was it the VA?
It is VA payments.
Payments, and that's the only reason that bank account is open is because apparently we can't get the VA to quit sending payments there.
Once we close it, we tried. We had 3 months where they didn't send a payment there. The billing company multiple times requested the VA, but there are so many different payment centers at the VA. There's like a regional, a local, and then overall. So my suggestion is to close out the account. Then they'll have to.
They'll
finally have to do something, and we'll give them a new account.
Okay, because I'm thinking that's ridiculous to keep that. When we've got a money market account that's making some decent interest,
will we still have to go sign in order for that money to be transferred to Buffalo?
Well, Marie's still on the account, and I'm still on the account, so I think we could probably just do it. Yeah.
So then we don't need to go there.
We're not going to have any trouble not getting those payments, are we, if we have a closed account? I mean,
well, we might. They might get behind, but
they might delay it by a month or two. But, the VA payments are infrequent.
You don't get very many.
The VA people have Medicare first, so it's a primary. At this point, I think that's my suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll send a letter and ask for a tracking number, and then they'll be ready for that information. Where, as if we're sending it out to them, it just doesn't.
It just falls through the cracks. Yeah. And trying to get anybody to answer the phone is not easy either. So you want to wait until? So I guess hold off on going down there, and we probably need a motion to close that account though. So.
I'll make a motion to close the account at First Interstate Bank.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This isn't on the agenda, but in looking at this, and we don't have to talk about it today, but we have over $1 million at the Bank of Buffalo with the FDI insurance. And all of that, I'm thinking we need to be looking and talking about if we're covered.
Oh, they have to have a bond or something, don't they? Or a letter.
Well, I don't know. I've been out of banking.
Yeah,
for so long
they have yet. To be able to
but
to cover that.
I think we should check on that.
Okay, I think that's a good job for the new treasurer, or maybe Teresa. I don't know, Teresa, do you have time to do that?
I could just look into, to see what they did just send a new letter, so let me send that out to you and see if that answers your question.
Yeah, because it might.
Like I've been out of the bank for a long time, but we want to make sure that
because they have to be
insurance.
Able to, there's a word for it. Pledge. I don't know what it is. Pledge.
That is just what we received.
Yeah,
and the auditors every year look at that. So we've been
So we're good.
And if
it doesn't hurt. Yeah, double check.
I can send you that, Maria.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Okay, under new business, the medical director thing, let's talk about that briefly. Like I said, I don't see that there's a conflict with you signing something for an EMT to get a license renewed. I think Buffalo EMS, do you have somebody in mind to be your medical director, or have you discussed it?
Without Dave being here, I hate to, we have discussed it, and there's been a group of us that have talked about who we work well with and who kind of is in the past, given us feedback, positive or negative, but, you know, certainly been interested in our well-being. But I think Dr. Schuler would be the best person to
come up with
a recommendation.
Okay.
And explain to that, whoever that might be, really what the job entails.
Well, that agreement that you signed now is pretty detailed, I thought, too. But I would think Buffalo EMS could come up with their own medical director.
Your only issue is that it's technically the rural health board medical director.
We're paying
them.
Well, if we're going to pay them. Now, we don't have to.
Oh.
We have to for KC. But we don't necessarily have to for Buffalo EMS. That's what we've always done, but it's not something that has to be done.
Uh-oh.
But I do think it's something that Buffalo EMS should pick their own medical director.
My only question delaying anything is, what is the liability? Is there a liability of not having a designated medical director for Buffalo EMS?
Can you operate without a
No.
You can't. You can't go on calls,
right? Dr. Schuler would need to remain until we...
Yeah.
And it is a contract between the Rural Healthcare District and this person.
Yeah.
And Teresa pays this person.
I think I have that in your book, maybe.
Until our contract ends June 30th, it is something where that would have to continue.
I think
Well, that's not going to work.
Is that contract, does it say, I mean, it's dated January, and we're supposed to renew it every year in January, was my...
What contract?
The one that Dr. Schuler signed.
Right.
So, I think it's coming up pretty fast, and...
But still, I mean, technically, if he rescinds today, you can't operate tomorrow.
No. Hopefully the agreement that comes out of this meeting today is that he's agreeing not to be paid to...
That it's not
a conflict
of
interest.
Oh, okay.
That he would remain the medical director until there is a new one named, signed.
Okay.
It's the only way that...
Yes, I'm willing to do that. I did provide notice because I don't think I can start serving on the board without officially
resigning,
canceling that contract for the sake of salary.
So obviously the medical director needs to be, we need to move on that.
Ideally there's
should
somebody
be kind of
in
independent from the board.
And Dr. Goddard is qualified. He's already done this for Sheridan, he's doing it for KC now. He would be a candidate.
Yeah.
Other, it needs to be a licensed physician, and it isn't by statute someone who has to be in Johnson County. There are interim directors from elsewhere in the state, but that's not ideal. It would be better someone local available.
Yeah, because I was thinking that we would address these medical director contracts at our January meeting, because that's when they're due to be talked about.
Do we need to make a motion to accept his resignation?
Yes, we do. Who wants to make the motion?
I make a
but
motion.
Can we? You know what I mean? I mean, can we officially?
Yes, because he's still going to remain the medical director.
Okay.
He just won't be
paid.
So I'll make a motion to accept his resignation as a paid employee through the Johnson County.
Would you reword that as a contract labor?
Sure. I need to talk slow. I'll make a motion to approve Dr. Schuler's resignation as a contract laborer. Paid medical director through Johnson County Rural Health Care District Board.
Nailed it. Second.
Did you get that, Teresa?
She is.
I'll be listening. Yeah, okay. I would just like to say that Buffalo EMS would like to visit with Dr. Schuler, and then we'll present a candidate or two to the board at the January meeting. If that.
It's agreeable.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Is there a second on it?
Adam seconded it.
No, you're good.
And I would like to say thank you very much for your, how many years being medical director? 25? 30?
Amazing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank
you. So I just want to thank you for that. Okay, on to new business. We're at the point where we elect officers. This is quite a long meeting, but so the officers we need to elect are the chairperson, the treasurer, and secretary. I don't know what the board's wishes are. Do you want to?
What happens if the chairman, if you miss a meeting, who takes over? The secretary.
Sometimes the treasurer does, but typically it probably should be the secretary.
You don't have a vice chair anytime, obviously.
No. Okay. Not according to the bylaws. We have a president, treasurer, and secretary.
Perfect. Okay.
Emery's been the secretary. Jim Hicks was the treasurer.
Yeah.
And then I've been the chairman. So how do you want to go about this? You want to just make motions? We're going to have to have some picks here, and then we can either just yay or nay, or write them down, however you want to do it. Doesn't matter to me. So, and then we can either do all three of them at once, or we can do them individually.
Sure. I mean, I am new to the board, and I understand that being new might not be great, but I don't know your thoughts, Marilyn, on wanting to continue. I would like, if you don't want to continue in the chair position, I would like to take on that responsibility, because I just feel like that is something I would like to do, but only if I can have good leadership, good collaboration with you.
You don't want me to just
help
like,
me.
Hey, it's your problem. Yeah. Figure it out.
Good luck. But that's just...
Okay, so is there anybody else interested?
The treasurer is not the thing.
Anybody else interested in the... Because if there's more than one person interested in the chairmanship...
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have to do some voting on that. Otherwise, we can just go, congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, hi. look forward to this new adventure with y'all, and I have my other board positions take up plenty of time as well, so I would love for it not to be me.
How about Marie? I'll just ask Marie, we need a treasurer, and I got to say, that's a very big, important job, and so somebody on this board needs to step up to be the treasurer, because we've got the budget stuff coming. We've got to do a lot of work on that this year, and
is that something you'd be willing to step up?
Me? No. I don't know that I have the knowledge to really do a good job. Jim did a good job being the treasurer.
Is that a strength or something you'd want to do, Dr. Shuler?
It's not a strength, but I'm willing to take that
take
on.
Take it on? Well, so we've got
I can do addition and subtraction pretty well.
Okay. All right. There's a little more to it than that, but you catch on fast. So, well, is there anybody else that'd like to throw their hat in for treasurer? And secretary, anybody want to relieve Marie of her duties?
I'm happy doing it. If
well, you've done a good job. At least you've been able to keep us on task and write our executive session in minutes. And
I want to make sure you don't, you mean if you want chair too, I think you should be able to say you want to do that too. So that can
you know,
be
I've been the chairman for 4 years and served on this board for probably going on 4 terms. Mm-hmm. And if someone else would like to take that on, I'm fine. So, We got to vote, though. So.
But I want you to be able to put your name in to vote.
Do you?
Well, if you want it. I don't
I'm,
want I don't want to step on your toes by saying
I'm
happy to take
I'm good.
It on.
I that's fine. So
but I only want to put my name in if you're willing to sit down with me.
We'll talk afterwards. So right now what I have is, I mean, is everybody willing to do a like a unanimous, cast a unanimous vote for Brittany to be the chairperson, Dr. Shuler to be the treasurer, and Marie to continue being the secretary? Is that a motion? Okay, I shouldn't make a motion as the chairman but
I'll make the motion.
Okay, so it's a unanimous vote for Brittany as chairman, Dr. Shuler as treasurer, and Marie continue as secretary. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Now, would you like to take over right now, or would you like me to finish this meeting?
I think you should do the honors of finishing.
Okay. What about, well, okay, so the treasurer and secretary are good. All right. Now, checking about the meeting dates.
And you can maybe rescind the motion to say effective during the January meeting.
Oh, all right. Take over
then
during the January meeting. All right.
Thanks for stepping up.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
And I think to say, like, as chair, Marilyn's done a wonderful job, and I think we all need to feed off of each other's strengths. Even though these are sort of designated titles, I think we all need to work together.
They're just titles.
Okay. Anything else you want to say? Chairman pro tem?
Nope. I'm good.
Okay. All right. So, meeting dates. So, you had in your packet a list of our meeting dates and times. So,
some of these were already designated.
Yeah, we've been going to KC every 3 months.
Okay.
But only, we didn't do every quarter. We skipped a quarter. So it's just 3 quarters that we go.
Three times a year. Okay.
And the previous board, for some reason, didn't want to go 4 times a year. Now, that's an option for this board if you choose to go 4 times a year, or you can leave it like it is, or you can choose not to go down there, whatever. But I think it's very valuable to go to KC, and I wish we could go even more often, but I think it's pretty important to go to KC at least every 3 months. So, let's see, we should have been there tonight, so, and I can't remember what our days are. Is it March or April that we went? I can't remember.
It was December, April, and August.
August, yeah. Those were our three. Now, if you want to add it, another one, we can, or if you want to stick with that, we can.
And it seemed like you could skip the winter trip and do April, July, and October.
That's what I was going to do.
I'm all for that, too. Just make it April, July, and October. That's good. Okay. And then those, of course, are at 5 p.m. And then the other meetings here have been at 4. Now, that's the other option for the board to discuss is, does this new board want to continue to have our meetings at 4 and 5, or do you want to change our meeting time or our meeting place? Because we have to advertise that annually in the paper.
I think this is a great place. My concern when we're a publicly voted board is that 4 p.m. is a tough time to be able to allow for public comment on a board when most people are working. So I either propose that we incorporate Zoom into every meeting so that the public can be on every meeting, like if they want to sit at their office and be on if we keep it at 4. So that's my only, it's not a very convenient time for public to comment if necessary. But if we could incorporate Zoom, then it allows more opportunity for collaboration.
We did Zoom during COVID, but I think I told Carrie to stop the, it costs money to have the Zoom. So I think I told you after COVID we didn't need it. So if you want to start the Zoom meetings again, then we'll have to sign up for a Zoom account. And I don't think it's super expensive.
I think it's 15 a month, isn't it?
It depends on how many people you want to be on it. Is there? I don't know a lot about it, but I think there's different ones where you can have 100 people or you can have 25.
And I guess it's good to, Crosby, I don't know if you're still there, but do you feel like Zoom would be more beneficial for KC to be able to be sort of more present at board meetings if you can't make it?
It's a little handier, if, you know, especially if you got the video set up. It seems like you get a little more included in it when you can see what's going on, but that's just kind of my opinion. I don't know how well that room's set up for audiovisual stuff.
We can do Zoom.
What are those TVs back there?
Those are emergency management monitors for the EOC. Mm-hmm. But we can project on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Having not been in person last meeting, that was the first one I've ever not been in person at. And no, it was the second one. But it was tough.
Yeah.
It is tough not to.
I've never
yeah.
had to miss one, but. So, okay, so one is to, the new chairman can line up a Zoom.
And I can bring my computer each meeting and,
you know, and
set up.
Is like something like this?
We can't use those for our meeting.
Okay, so, and I guess, I think if we're going to do it consistently, it'll be better than having just a laptop, you know, especially mm-hmm. if public's able to get onto that link. So I think we either need to kind of do it right and mm-hmm. figure that out or adjust the time. Does anyone else have reason for 4 or 5 besides the public comment portion of it? support.
No preference.
I don't have a preference.
I'm okay with five if it fixes that problem where we're giving people some more time. Selfishly, I'm four's fine too. Get home to little kids, but
yeah. I mean, no, I'm fine with four.
Once a month, it's not a big deal.
So four, keep it at four and five, and then I think, right? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I'm talking, just talking.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I was just thinking on the Zoom, or you know, or we do a better job of advertising, that public comment. You know, even if we have a fast meeting and we say, you know, public comment is going to be no earlier than 5:15 or so. You know what I mean? You know, where we make that more public, where someone might not be able to get here to listen to everything or watch us sign vouchers, but they could still get here.
Yeah.
At least if we made that known.
Yeah.
So
I don't know
I
how many people are
going to
take advantage of the Zoom, even though we make it available.
So Zoom?
I mean, we can Zoom too. I mean, I have multiple accounts through Zoom. If someone's going to miss, then we could just say, hey, I'd like to Zoom in, and we could make that meeting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you're going to miss the day before, we can easily add that.
Yeah, I think the chairman can decide that.
Okay.
So are we saying 4 o'clock for Buffalo and 5 o'clock for KC then? Is that what
that's what
saying?
I'm
keep
understanding.
Yep.
And then the locations will stay the same.
Yep.
Okay, so we don't really have to, think about putting an ad in the bulletin for that.
My question about the location is, what happens if you're ever not available? How do we get in here?
We contact Jim Waller and he opens it up.
Okay.
He'll be here.
Okay.
Okay, and then, so everybody good with that?
Yep.
Okay, moving on. Budget hearing for mid-year adjustment. So what I need to do, this is legal, what we have to do legally, because to pay that $12,700 and whatever it is and the $3,000 for KC, we have to move money from one area of our funds to another. And so... I wasn't exactly clear on how, if we need to adjourn our rural health care meeting or if we can just call, go into a public hearing for moving this money. This ad was published in the bulletin and it's not exact. So, I had to get it in the paper, so we didn't have the exact. Dollar amounts, so we estimated it, and we estimated in the ad $16,368. But before we get going on it, I guess I'd like to go into the budget hearing, mid-year budget adjustment hearing, and that way we can ask for public comment and so on. And then under the budget hearing, the amount that I put in the ad was $16,368. And I said that will be transferred from reserves to the district-wide, and I thought and thought on this, but I said bookkeeping line. Mm-hmm. Because there's really no other place line-wise that made that bookkeeping line is what we use to pay Teresa. And there's more money in there than, you know, we're going to need for this fiscal year. So I said that we would put that in the district-wide bookkeeping line for unanticipated payroll tax expenses incurred by Buffalo EMS and KC Ambulance Service, and that all interested persons may appear and be heard respecting such transfer of funds. So what we need to do is just, I think the process would be to amend the amount that we're going to put into the district-wide bookkeeping line if we want to make it exactly what that payroll tax was. Or we can leave it like this and just leave it in, move it to, it's about four. $408 off. So we can either just leave it and move the $16,368, or we can do an amendment to what I advertised and amend it to the exact, to the penny amount.
Does that mean you put a new advertisement in?
No,
oh.
We can just amend it.
Oh.
Because it'll be in our records.
Okay.
I'd say we just amend it to the
exactly.
Right amount.
Yeah.
And where are we taking it from?
We're going to take it out of our reserves.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that exact amount, oh, let's see. Where did I have that?
This is probably that.
Well, I have... For the employer portion on the Wyoming retention, there's $31,877 for FICA and Medicare. There's $128.93 for federal unemployment tax, and there's $204.18 for workman's comp. I do not know of any Wyoming unemployment cost at this time. I don't have the quarter report information, and it's possible we're still on a credit from before because it wasn't paid last quarter.
Right. And there is, I emailed you that, but I must have emailed it to you too late. So with the unemployment tax, there's a couple ways you can pay it. You can pay it quarterly, or you can do what's called a reimbursement. Then so you submit it when you need it. Now, I don't know, have we ever paid any unemployment to anybody? I don't recall ever having done that.
No, but we pay into the fund, and then we are not administrators to pay out employees.
No, but what I was told is that we can do this reimbursement method or pay it, is it a quarterly basis?
Quarterly.
Yeah.
It's quarterly when you file your payroll taxes with that. I just believe, I haven't seen the paperwork because Michelle, I'm new to this board, but Michelle was the one prior to me doing the quarter reports, and there was only workman comp paid in the prior quarters for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any of the records showing what the unemployment rate would currently
even
be.
Yeah.
When will the hearing be?
This is Michelle. We do pay quarterly unemployment and workers' comp taxes, and we pay our 941s and all that every quarter. And at the end of the year, we pay the 940 taxes for the whole year. So we have not paid any employees, per se, out in unemployment, but we do pay unemployment. They had a COVID thing that we weren't having to pay into unemployment is the only reason we haven't paid anything this year, is because it was kind of whatever they had going on with COVID, they weren't charging everybody.
Correct. So, Michelle.